text. I want to have a, pull a text out of Hebrew chapter 12. I think that's what I want to do. Hebrew chapter 12. The reason I'm looking back here, that's the last verse I'm going to use in this message. And I'm going to make it the first because of, just because. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. For consider him. And that's what we're going to strive to speak on for a little while. I like the words of the song, brother. We need God's blessings when we discuss and we proclaim his word. I ask you to pray for me today, physically and spiritually. But this verse right here says, for consider him, as speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself. Well, we talked about some of that today, Bruce. People go about talking about God's word is not the truth. And I've heard them say Jesus Christ was not God manifested in the flesh. He's not, he's just another person. Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Let me read it again. For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Going through life, we'll hear people talking about God's word in a negative sense and against the Lord Jesus Christ in many different fathoms, and they say his ways are not the truth. They'll say that his ways are no good whatsoever. We're going to be looking strictly at this word here, consider. Or consider him. And Bruce, I'm like you are. You said something about looking at words and studying words out. I like this word. I like to look at this word consider here. And we will. But I'm going to continue in this passage for right now. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Yet ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son. I'm thankful today that I am a son. I'm thankful that I belong to the Lord Jesus, belong to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Do I stumble around every day, Brother JT? Yes, I do. I go astray every day. I say things that I shouldn't say. My prayers are too weak. But I do pray. I'm thankful that God is stable in whatever he has, by his grace, has given me through the Lord Jesus Christ. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. These many times that I go astray, I say things I shouldn't, I go to places I shouldn't say, I act in fashions that I shouldn't act. I forget about the word of God carelessly, not intentionally. But then I can expect or I experience the chastening hand of the Lord along the way. I become ill sometimes. I don't know what all to direct towards the Lord. But if I don't like it in my flesh, Brother Jordan, I have to say the Lord has something to do with it. I fall short. Now the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. I cannot say what the Lord has rebuked you of, but in my own body and in my own spirit, I know where he has rebuked me. It becomes very clear sometimes how he has rebuked me. Verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. He scourges, he chastises you because of sin. Because of sin that you have done. Because of sin that you have stated and said and things that are wrong in your life. Verse 7, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. Now, I hate to reflect back on some of my scourging moments when my children lived at home. But there were times when they needed punishment. And they were. I strove to punish them. And strove to correct them, and they still went astray. So my chastisement, my scourging was weak. Or they didn't believe me. But when God speaks to us through his word is truth. He means it. And one day, you will answer to that truth before him, even in the flesh or in the spirit. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? One time, one of my daughters come to me, and Rebecca can probably remember this more than I can, Linda. But I believe that it was Rebecca that come to me. She said, Daddy, I was wrong. Why don't you whip me? Why don't you spank me? I don't even remember what. I don't even remember. But one of them felt bad that I hadn't punish them. When my Lord scourges me, chastises me in some fashion, I know exactly what he's chastening me for. And I say in my heart, thank you, Lord. I love you too. Speaking of myself now, the wicked also suffer punishments along the way to get their attention. Sometimes they don't respond to that attention. I hope that when the Lord chastises me and corrects me and something happens in my life that I know good and well he's chastising me for in that particular fashion. I'm thankful that I belong to him. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. I'm thankful that I'm a son. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? And I must add these words, live eternally. If you're the son, if you're a son and you belong to the God through the Lord Jesus Christ, you live forever in heaven. Not forever in the lake of fire. Verse 10, for they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit. When God chastises you because of the evil that's in your life, because of the places where you have gone astray, and he chastises you, it's for your profit. JT, every single thing that happens to us doesn't, it, to me, I'd have trouble saying that it was a chastisement or from God. Things happen to us that would cause us to follow a particular trail with the Lord. That's the only way I know how to say that. Sometimes we're injured. And that doesn't mean that we've gone astray somewhere. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. There's the answer. That we might be partakers of his holiness. I desire to partake of the holiness of God. I want to better understand his righteousness that's delivered to me through the Lord Jesus Christ, and that I might better understand his word. What does the word consider mean to you? To consider something means to ponder it. It means to think about it. When we come to church here on Sunday, we hear a doctrine, many different doctrines. We should be thinking upon those things. I forget how you say it, Bruce. But you think about many different things. And you meditate on what God's word has said about those different situations. Yes. You got to chew on it for a while. Some in here might not know what that word means. A cow chewing on his cud. What does that mean, Brother JT? And chewing on it. Yeah. And that's the way we're to do the things that happen in our life and on the things that we read in God's word and understand what he has said. We chew on it. We need to chew on God's word daily. The Bible has a few things recorded that ought to be considered. Now, we don't have enough time to consider every single doctrine and every practical application of God's word, maybe even in a lifetime. It is a book alive with the consciousness of God, and his application to our life is unlimited. Every answer that, every question and every problem that you ever have, it's solved right here. You might not feel like it is. I hear people all the time say, I don't believe that. God didn't mean that. If it states it plainly in God's word, it's the truth. So So the application is life-giving. But some are of greater importance and should be considered as priority. And we do that. Some doctrines seem to be more important to us, but all of God's Word is important. The greatest of importance, yea, even life-given, that's what God's Word is, it's life-given. To believe in His Word is eternal life. If you would turn to Deuteronomy, and I have trouble even saying that word, 32 and 29. Now, I've got two different versions of, and I didn't look them up, two different versions of Scripture in here. So if you hear something that's a little bit different, pray for me. But 32 and 29 of the book of Deuteronomy says, "Oh, that they were wise and that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end." The things that we're looking at are things that we should consider. For those that do belong to Him. The wise man will consider his latter end. That's not talking about the end of this day. It's talking about our spiritual life. The latter end of our spiritual life. Every single person in here one day will, his life, this fleshly life will be over. It will come to an end. And we must stand before the Lord, go before the Lord. The wise man will consider his latter end, his final destination. He is as the grass of the land. He lives a few days and withers away. Now, I believe I've already mentioned this, but my son-in-law had a friend that was only, I believe it was 48 years old. He went home one day, laid his car keys up on the kitchen cabinet, and dropped dead. Just 48 years old. Here I am, 77, nearly 78. Joyce, you remember that now. December the 26th, I'll be 78. The Lord has blessed me and given me long days. And the longer I live, the more I understand and see that I desire to be closer to Him. Closer to the Lord. I desire it. I desire to be more obedient to Him every day. I desire to be His servant. Am I His servant today? I hope so. The man of the world today is concerned about many different things. His education. He's concerned about his education. What do we call those people, young people today? Millennials? Is that the word for them? His social standing. They're more concerned about their social standing in the community and about the city and about the country. They're more concerned about the dollars that they have in the bank. They're more concerned about the size of that check they can write. They're more concerned about how much stock they have in the stock market. And they figure that everybody else that just belongs to the Lord that are considered poor and without anything and I'm not going to go any further with that, but without anything, they consider them as nothing. They consider them as lacking. But the person that knows the Lord, that considers the Lord, he considers that latter end, he's in much better position with the Lord. He is as the grass of the land. He lives a few days and he withers away. That's what we are. I'm glad I'm still here. Now, I've got some grass in my front yard I'd like to kill. It's growing too fast. Some of it looks like weeds and some of it looks like pretty St. Augustine grass. But the weed seems to hold up a whole lot better sometimes, Brother Jordan.
They were the curse.
Yeah, they're a curse, okay. I curse them every day when I look at them. But here we see the wise man with a spiritual discernment. He is going to be concerned about his latter days. Yea, and the very end. And I'm concerned about that for myself. Even though I know the Lord. I belong to him. But I want to be more like him every day. But what is it going to be like when I stand before him? And when will I go stand before him? The day when he faces his God and judge to lay forth his righteousness before the God of all creation. So our lives should be to focus on Christ and not the goodness of fulfilling the things that the flesh desires. Our flesh will get us in trouble. Today the young people are concerned about money matters. And boyfriends. And those other things that we've mentioned. But the time is nigh and our Lord is returning. It's already been discussed today. He's returning very shortly. I feel that with everything that I have to even consider and to think about. He's returning shortly. Now I know that it was Peter that said, or one that said, that shortly the Lord would be returning. Well, it's much shorter than that. I'm 77 years old. I said, well, everything's going real good. I have everything to think about. I'm not thinking about those latter days. I'm not considering how I'll stand before the Lord. I'm pleased with everything that's in my fleshly life. Well, that's not so with me, but people think that way. Have you considered your latter end? How will you present yourself before the Lord? Or is there any presentation? You're presenting yourself to him today. And just let me clarify something right here. I believe that God has a people, his people, that belong to him. And he gave those to the Lord Jesus Christ. I do not work my way into heaven, and no one else can. The things that I decide to do is a curse on me, a curse on the person that doesn't believe in God. Even over in the Old Testament, in Zephaniah 1 and 14, he says, the great day of the Lord is near. Wow. That was many thousands of years ago. The second point I want you to look at is 1 Samuel 12 and 24. It says, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all of your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. Has the Lord done anything for you in this lifetime? Every day. He gives you the very next breath. We had a good lunch today. Until I get home, and then I'll eat some more. It never is full. But the Lord is good to us. He furnishes things that we need along the way. Even things that we think we need. He gives us transportation to come to church. And to sit here and worship him. The blessings of God's providence are marvelous. He provides his watch care every day. He has many wonderful works. Let's give him the glory. And that's what we should do. We should go to him more often in prayer. Bruce, I appreciate what you said about prayer. Every day we pray. Every single day, even if we're on the job. Even when I go out and work on my car, or when I'm mowing the grass that I got to mow Monday or Tuesday, it's according to whether it rains or not. If it's raining, I'll call Joel. Let's be thankful for a God-given life. He gives us every day that we exist upon this earth. And for our group here, he's benefited us greatly. I am thankful that I'm not living on the edge of the Sahara Desert, Joel, where the snakes and the heat and no shade tree. I'm thankful I'm living here. When I left the house this morning and I backed out of the driveway, I was sitting there waiting for Joyce to drive up over there, and I purposely parked under a shade tree. You didn't know that, did you, Joyce? I was sitting there under a shade tree. That's the reason I stopped right there. I like a shade tree instead of that hot, billowing sun that come down on me. We know a great God that gives greatly. We receive benefits we're not even aware of. We don't understand what he's done for us. That's the reason we need to go to God's word every single day and read a portion of it and study it. He brought us up out of the land of Egypt. He really did. Using the words. That's a spiritual word there, by the way. Out of the deep miry pit, he set our feet upon a solid rock. The rock of salvation. Where is your rock of salvation? He feeds us that precious manna of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. We feed on him every day. That's the reason we need to be reading this word, this scripture every day. Bruce told us today, this morning, about how much of a blessing it was just to be able to read certain books and words of God's word. It's always a blessing to read God's word. It's thrilling to read God's word. You can have a bad day and you can start reading the scripture and it just lifts you up. It feeds you. Through Christ, God gave us a scapegoat to bear our sins away under the blood. Have you considered what the Lord has done for you through his providence, through his electing grace? He blesses us on every turn of our life. I'm going to read a few passages over in the book of Job, chapter 37. Job, chapter 37. He says, listen to this. Now, Brother JT, I don't know who was doing the speaking here. But because it says, listen to this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Have you ever stopped just to think about the wondrous works of God? Every day of our life we can see, find a wondrous work of God. In verse 15 it says, do you know when God dispatches or disposed them and causes the light of his cloud to shine? Verse 16. Do you know how these clouds are balanced? Those wondrous works of him who is perfect in knowledge. God is perfect in knowledge. And he shares that knowledge with us through his word. Why are your garments hot when he quits the earth by the south wind? When he quits, I don't know how you pronounce that word, quits or quits. When he quits the earth by the south wind, with him have you spread out the skies, strong as a cast metal mirror. Verse 19. Teach us what we should say to him, for we can prepare nothing because of the darkness. When God created the heavens and the earth, it says in the book of Genesis, let there be light. God created that light. Verse 20, should he be told that I wish to speak? If a man were to speak, surely he would be swallowed up. God does not need counsel from us. Not one word of counsel. We can't get add any advice. We can't give him any advice. Are we smarter than God? Are we smarter than the Lord Jesus Christ? No. When we read his scripture and it says turn to the left, we need to turn to the left. When it says turn to the right, we need to turn to the right. Whenever he says don't sin, we need to stop sinning. We need to repent of the awful sin that's in our lives. Even now, men cannot look at the light when it is bright in the skies, when the wind has passed and cleared them. He comes from the north as golden splendor, with God his awesome majesty. Could that be talking about the golden, those lights in the north, northern lights? Whenever it is, God created it. God manifested those lights. He made those lights shine forth. We cannot make those lights shine forth. We must depend on the Lord. That's my comment. All praises are unto him. When we sit here and sing, we're praising the Lord. David knew what it was like to consider the works of God. He mentioned it a number of great times in the scripture. But in Psalms 8 and 3, he says, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. As I say that, Joey, I'm remembering that time when you and I walked out front out here. You might not remember it. You were so young. But we looked up into the north sky and we could see all the stars, and they were very clear. Those stars speak. That's God's creation. They're wonderful works, beautiful works. We had nothing to do with it. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? That's the question. Who do you think you are? Who do I think I am? He might have read this very same passage. Right. Why has God made us thus? How glorious are his works and his creation, God wondered. Why did God even consider man? Did he not need you? Did he need any man to walk upon the face of this earth to glorify and please him? I don't think. But those stars and the clouds and those rocks in the mountains, they glorified him and they pleased him. Have you ever considered why the Lord God even thought of man or even you? That's what I just asked. God will be glorified by you even if you were cast into the lake of fire. Some people say, no, that wouldn't be so. Yeah, it is so. It pleases him to punish sin and those that turn against him and lived a wicked life that did not belong to him. So it glorifies him when that person and those people are cast into the lake of fire, into hell. Yet the mind of carnal man considers nothing but his own being. Some people will never think about heaven or God's word, going to church on Sunday. They only think about their own self. Selfishness. That's what it is. Linda went down to an acquaintance. On Friday, she went down there and she carried them some oranges, about five of them or something, because she was concerned about the little children there. She gives the oranges to the lady, and I don't believe the lady ever said thank you, did she? With a smile. I want to hear it out of their mouth. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We needed those. Did with a smile. And maybe in her own way she was being thankful. But it disturbs me when you do something for somebody like that and they can't even thank you for it. It's not that they have to. I'm not demanding a thank you. It just gives me a better thought about them. He is God to his own self, falling helplessly throughout eternity into the lake of fire, where he burns forever, each day more intently than the day before. Do you believe that's what hell is going to be like? They go to hell, and every day is hotter than the day before. I don't know about that particular point. I know that Jonathan Edwards proclaimed that. He made that statement in a message of his, that every day is a multiple of the day before of the intense heat and suffering in the lake of fire. I'm not going to be there, so I don't know. But it's a terrible thought. Because of man's self-centered heart, which is full of pride, lust, and his own righteousness, God spoke to him in the book of this book. He spoke to us in this book. Haggai 1:5, it says, "Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." And I want to say daily ways, every single day. As we consider man's ways, we find he is a sinner, self-centered, unloving. Especially do we find ourselves this way. Now, because of the time, I'm not going to go to Romans 3rd chapter. There's a passage in there you could read, but I'll state a couple of them here. It says, "But when man considers his ways, is there any surprise? There is little discernment in that he finds. There is no fear of God before him." Have you ever heard somebody say, "When I get to heaven, I got a few things to tell God"? It scares me just to say it out of my mouth. It's terrifying, Brother Jordan. There is no fear of God before him. Now, you really don't have to make that statement, but it's the way you live. They don't read God's word. They only go to church because they have to. Somebody's twisted the arm. When my kids grew up, Brother JT, they were going to church. We didn't twist their arm. They knew that they had to go. Now, they're not, I'm not talking about them being Christians, as they ought to be. But they wouldn't have went if I hadn't have insisted on it. I said it plainly. You're going to church. Their throat is an open grave. I heard talking earlier about what some of the things that comes out of people's mouth, using God's name in vain. Their throat is an open grave. Their mouth is full of bitterness, and they don't know the way of truth. And God's word continues. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They have all sinned and become unprofitable to themselves and to those that are around them also. And man thinks he can save his own self. That's what they think. Well, some people say, oh yeah, I know there's a God out there, but I'm going to live like I want to. I'm going to go fishing when I want to. I'm going to go to that ball game up there that's on Sunday afternoon. Yeah. I've got to know whether the Oilers or whoever, Astros or winners on Sunday. But they think they can save their own self. My friend, let me tell you, I cannot save myself. If I am lost now, God forbid, but I cannot save myself. It's the blood of Christ that paid for my sins. And my life was given by the Father to the Lord Jesus Christ. Except for that, I would have nothing. And if you were not given to God, by God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, in eternity past, you're on your way to hell. Have you ever considered your ways? How godly, how wicked, how vile, how lost you are? What should we do? Can we have any hope? Is there any provision for you in the breaking of laws of God's holy law? Consider this then, in Hebrews 12:3, and I've already mentioned it, used it. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You must belong to him. You cannot survive the wickedness of this flesh unless you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts 4:12 it reads, neither is there salvation in any other. No other way. No other person. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And quite often in my personal prayer time, I change that word right there, Brother Jordan, and I say, whereby I must be saved. There's no other way. We must belong to him. But scripture still points out there's a responsibility in my own man's part. Hebrews 11 and 6 reads, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." Without faith, we must have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You have a responsibility in these matters. That's the reason we consider him. We seek him out daily. And I like to think we seek him out every Sunday when we come to church. We're here seeking on the Lord. We want to know the truth of God's word. If you're not seeking out the Lord, you're going to spend an eternity in the lake of fire. So we must consider him who is the author and finisher of all things. By faith, we can have hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me just restate those points again that I strove to bring out to you. You must consider him. You must consider him. Have you ever considered your latter end? Have you ever considered what great things he has done for you? Have you ever considered his wonderful works? Have you ever considered his creation that we so diligently went over in the past few months? It tells us about his power and his goodness, his grace that he's shed with his people, those that belong to him. Have you ever considered your ways? Well, we've already read the scripture. It said, "For all has sinned and come short of the glory of God." Have you ever considered my God manifested in the flesh? He lived on this earth for 33 years speaking things that we need to study and learn. Study daily. They're part of our life. They're important things. Important words. Have you ever considered Christ? Have you ever considered Jesus as your Lord and Savior? I hope you have. Have you ever considered him? And I repeat it again. I hope you don't forget those words. Consider. Have you ever considered God's way? He is all I have to offer you. That's all I have. All I can do is point you toward this book right here. To study it and read it and meditate on it day and night. God's word tells us today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. Remember what I told you about that young man is 48 years old and he walked in, laid his keys on the counter, and he was looking forward to going to work the next day again. And he collapsed into the middle of the floor there. At first they wondered what was wrong with him. He did not have the next day to search out the things of God. Today is the day of salvation. Jesus Christ is the final answer The only answer, the cure for all that are in doubt and wonder. Diligently seek him. How could I direct you to proceed and seek after him? It's been proclaimed this evening and this morning and all every week we come here. Search out God's word, study it. I know that each one of us lives in the world, a terrible world, a terrible place. But we can have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and we can search him out diligently. Consider him daily in your life.